repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, and areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States, again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand. We need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Art Thomas with Art Thomas Ministries. So exciting to see what God is doing through him and his just heart towards just wanting everybody in the body of Christ to be moving in the fullness of what God said. Somebody that over 5 years ago, approximately 5 years ago, had just a few, you know, miracles that maybe we see in our own lives. You know, you pray for people and every now and then you see people heal, but like almost over 3,000 in the last 5 years, he's begun to see God just move amongst his people. Just a beautiful thing. And we're going to be talking also about a movie that he had put together with part of his crew and a book. And it's so powerful. This movie, you know, it's good. You know, we're designed that we need to see things, we need to participate. And think about Jesus. You know, Jesus said, you know, follow me. And the disciples basically interned with Jesus, watching him do what he did. And they began to do it. That's what happens with this particular DVD, which we'll tell you how to get it also on the program. But also this manual, imagine being activated. I mean, it takes this movie and puts it into practical things. And the Lord spoke to me while I'm going through this, kind of helping bring some corrections. Said, this is, you need to do it this way, not that way. It was just pretty cool to see how God is into this. And so, as a matter of fact, Art Thomas is with us right now. Hey, Art.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Doing great.
We're so glad to have you with us. You know, if anybody missed our earlier program, you got to catch it. It was just so encouraging. You know, talk to us about 10 things that Jesus didn't say about healing in the Word of God. I mean, who would ever think that, right? But it's so important because if we're believing what is truth when it's not truth, it's not in the Word, then it could lock us down. And so talk to us, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you've asked me to pull out a sermon from like 2 years ago, but I think I can pull it off, especially since I grabbed the notes on my iPad here.
Awesome.
But number one, I think, well, first of all, to put a context on this, one of the things I've noticed is we in the church have these things we believe about healing ministry that in the long run have proven themselves to actually slow things down and make things more difficult for us. And so we've come up with all these excuses for why God doesn't heal or doesn't want to heal or something like that. When if you look in scripture, these things are not biblical in the least. Like there might be some little obscure thing that we're basing it off of, but when you actually study that out to its full extent, that's not what that scripture is saying. So what I did was I started sitting down and saying, all right, Jesus, I know what you did say about healing. I know what you have done about healing. And frankly, I'm not finding all these other things we say among what you said and what you did. So, you know, I started learning as much from the things Jesus didn't say as I did from the things he did say. So, for instance, number one, Jesus never said, I'm sorry, but it's not my Father's will to heal you. You know, we have this idea that God sometimes wants to or sometimes doesn't. But instead, like, you've got scriptures where, I think it's in Luke 6, where crowds are just pressing in to touch Jesus and power's coming from him and healing them all. Everyone who just touches the hem of his garment. You know, like the woman with the issue of blood wasn't the only one to do it. So it's not even like he's being discriminant, like he's following the Holy Spirit and God's telling him who it's his will to heal and who it isn't. Instead, it's just the crowd's clamoring and everyone who touches him gets healed.
It's like he wants everybody to be healed or something.
Yeah, imagine that. So, you know, Hebrews 1:3 says that the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So when I read that, I'm like, all right, if I look at the life and ministry of Jesus, I know he is consistent with the heart and life and will of the Father. So, you know, John 6:38, for I have not come down from heaven to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So everything Jesus did, healing all, he wasn't contradicting the Father. It's not like the Father was up in heaven making people sick so Jesus could heal them,
right.
You know? If the Father was out there making people sick, that's what Jesus would have gone around doing.
Right.
If sickness was such a virtue, why did Jesus go and steal that virtue from every single person he encountered?
Right.
So, you know, why was he robbing them of something that would make them more Christ-like, you know?
Right.
So there's all these problems we have with this. It is always God's will to heal. Jesus proved it through his lifestyle. But furthermore, he proved it through the price he paid.
Right.
And so, I could go into a whole sermon about the price Jesus paid and why that's a part of healing ministry. In fact, I have done that. If someone wants to just see it for free, go on YouTube and look up Healing and the Blood, and you can hear all about the atonement and healing and get
we'll
all
make
that.
Sure a link that's available. Also, does that go with how you compare with a man who rescues somebody from a fire? Is that the same?
Yeah, I got that
I love
from
that
one
story.
Of the people
can
in
you
our
tell
movie.
That, though? That's
yeah, one of the guys in our movie, Josh Greeson, said that to me. He said, you know, can you imagine you know, what would happen? You know, we've got this news report of this guy who raced into a burning building and saved a couple kids out of it. Woohoo, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're praising him as a hero. And then a week down the road, we find out through the investigation that this man actually started the fire so that he could go in the house, save the two little children, and be a hero.
That's criminal.
Exactly. All of a sudden, we're locking this guy up in jail.
Right.
And yet, that's what we do with healing ministry oftentimes, is we believe God's making people sick just so that he can heal them and get glory out of it.
Ugh.
And it's like, he doesn't need that.
No,
like, he's a
God.
Glorious God.
He's
yeah.
God. You're right?
Exactly.
He's God.
Yep. We don't have to push like that.
No,
so,
no.
So you know, ironically, those who say that healing isn't always God's will are also the ones who, when you ask them, why did Jesus heal everybody? They then reply, well, because he's God.
Right.
So it's like, well, let me get this straight. God doesn't always want to heal, but Jesus healed everyone because he's God.
Did he trump God? Did he trump
right,
God?
Right. Yeah, you can't make that argument.
Right.
You know, now we get one of the things I get some backlash on is the sovereignty of God.
Right.
And so, you know, I think probably the safest way to say it without starting a separate debate that there's not time to answer
right.
is to say, yes, God is sovereign.
Yes,
if
is.
He doesn't want to heal, he's allowed to say no.
Right.
But interestingly, throughout the entire life and ministry of Jesus, he never did.
Right.
So it's kind of like he has sovereign in his sovereignty, he has chosen to always desire healing. Now, why isn't everyone healed? Now, there's something I'll just flat out say I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe every
right.
little thing that happens is God's will.
Right.
I look in Scripture at 2 Peter 3:9, I think it's 3:19 or somewhere in there, where it says the Lord wills that none should perish and that everyone would come to repentance. And yet we know there are people who perish without coming to repentance.
That's good.
So
that's right.
Biblically, that's right. God's will is not always done.
Right.
Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If God's will is always done, why do we have to test and approve what it is?
Right.
We would just blindly accept that everything that happens is his will.
Right.
And not only that, but it says right there, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I know a lot of folks will say, you know, well, because God did it, that makes it good and perfect.
Right.
So, you know, God gave your Aunt Nancy cancer, so it is perfect and it is good.
Right.
But, dude, that's not pleasing.
No, that's not pleasing
at
all.
That's not acceptable if you want to use the King James language. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect, and I can rest in that. And his will is always done in heaven, and we are to pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm.
Nobody's got cancer in heaven. Nobody's sick in heaven. Nobody's poor in heaven. Nobody's hungry in heaven. Nobody's naked in heaven. So we feed the hungry. We give to the poor. We, you know, clothe the naked, and we heal the sick, and we raise the dead because no one's dead there. It's all part of this mission. So, yeah, Jesus always healed. He never said, I'm sorry, it's not my Father's will to heal you. He also said, I'm sorry, but my Father's building character in you. You're going to have to stay a leper for a while longer. That's something we come up. Maybe God's just trying to get you to slow down for a while. I'm sorry. That's my Father. He can just say to me, hey, son, slow down.
Right.
You know, like, he doesn't have to break my leg to do it.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying God can't build your character through a condition that you're walking in, because we all have testimonies of that happening.
Right.
Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So, you know, in the midst of our sickness and disease, this stuff happens.
Right.
God does work with our character on it until we're healed. But that doesn't mean he's holding back a healing.
Right.
Dangling it over our face like a doggy treat, saying, once you jump through this hoop, then I'll let go.
Yeah,
that's nonsense, and it's not in the Bible. Jesus didn't do that.
Right.
In fact, none of the people that Jesus ministered healing to were Christ-like.
Right.
They couldn't be. The indwelling Holy Spirit had not been poured out from heaven yet. You know, he hadn't died and risen again yet. So these are just, you know, not only Jews, but just Gentiles who he was healing.
Wow.
So, you know, you can't take that and say you got to be this perfect Christian and you got to have all this character and then God will heal you. That's not in the Bible.
Well, this is good. We're gonna go to break and continue this. This is so good because, you know, his desire, you know, the thing is that God will be good to us when we're not good to him. He'll forgive us when we choose not to be forgiven. He will reach out to us like the rich young ruler and love us while we're walking away from him. And religion's about, you got to earn this before I give you something. You got to do all those kind of different things. Remember, we're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break. This is so encouraging. 10 things that Jesus didn't say in his word about healing.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Sometimes a little question can help ease tensions and simplify things. I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. When Lisa Turkhurst asked her husband what mattered most to him when he walked in the door at night, she found that life got easier for the both of them.
So I can either tidy up the house that way, or I can cook dinner. I have a choice there, you know, and what matters the most to him, if I'm pressured and I can only pick one of those two, I know what matters more to him is to have the house tidy rather than having a home-cooked meal. So I get takeout and I tidy the house. And because I know that, I don't create this internal pressure. I'm a bad wife. I'm a bad wife. I can't cook dinner and tidy the house. I'm a bad wife. I don't have that anymore.
You'll hear more stories and insights from Lisa Turkhurst about reducing stress and strengthening your relationship today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN-TV. Today we have with us Art Thomas. I'm so excited to be able to present to you an awesome movie, a documentary, it's going to just stir your faith. It's called Paid in Full. Think about this. We don't hesitate to tell people as believers that Jesus paid for your price and paid for it in full. But this same price, he paid for your healing as well. And we get to see it taking place in this devotional, a 40-day paid in full activation manual. Think about it, every single day for 40 days, and you don't have to wait 40 days because it can put you to action right away. I mean, you start, oh my goodness, I was hoping I could hesitate a little bit. And next thing you know, I'm texting people and calling people, and I'm seeing the Lord speaking to me in conjunction with what's going on, giving me dreams, confirming what's happening. And this is for all of us, and I'm so excited about it. So Art Thomas is talking to us about 10 things that Jesus did not say about healing. Art, talk to us, man. Talk to us.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's hit number three, which is Jesus didn't say, my father doesn't want to heal you until after you die. And I run into this one a lot. I hear people say, like, you know, because this is evidence of a good doctrine gone wrong. Yeah. Like, you know, if Grandma Nancy died of cancer, yes, she is up in heaven dancing with Jesus pain-free, you know, like... Right. That is true. And so we call that the ultimate healing because they didn't just get their body fixed, but now they've got a you know, they're resurrected. I don't know if they got their resurrection body yet. I guess I should be careful about my eschatology there.
I love
but,
that. Okay.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, they're fine. Right. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord.
Right.
But they're not sick and diseased anymore. We know that. And but what happens is we often settle for that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say is, you know, I believe Jesus believed in the ultimate healing too. You know, he believed that if you die without getting healed, you're going to be fine. He's going to get what he paid for, you know.
Yes, I think he did. Yes, yes.
But thankfully for every person he ever ministered to, he never settled for it.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, he didn't back down. Every one of those people got healed. When it says in those, you know, 9 different scripture verses that everyone who came to him was healed, that doesn't mean that some of them he killed so that they could be ultimately healed in heaven, you know? They were legit healed here on earth.
Right.
Number 4, he didn't say, I'd like to heal you, but my father's saying, not yet. Check with me again next time I pass through your village.
Yeah.
So, I've heard this preached, like, yeah. Were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay,
laughter in the
room. I've heard this preached that, you know, God always answers prayer. Sometimes his answer is no or not yet. Now, in a lot of cases, that's good and true, and actually it is helpful. Like, you know, if I'm praying for a new job and God knows that if he gives me a job now, it's not going to be as good as the job that he can give me in a week.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to say, not yet, hold off, just hang out a week, it's going to be awesome.
Right.
You know, so God understands compound interest. He lets stuff grow until they're better, and he doesn't take it out of the bank until then.
Wow.
But when it comes to matters of the atonement, when you're talking forgiveness, healing, deliverance from evil spirits, these are things that are part of this Greek word soteria or sozo and the Hebrew word rapha. They are salvation. They are wholeness, complete wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. They are the things Jesus purchased with his own blood. These are right now things. These are not just God in his mercy taking care of you and doing something nice for you. These are things Jesus purchased and that he deserves to receive. So I've learned that most of my questions about God's will to heal, I can answer myself if I just replace the word healing with forgiveness. So for instance, can I imagine any sinner coming to the Father in repentance saying, Lord, forgive me of my sin. And he says, I'm sorry, I'm using this sin to build character in you. You know, we wouldn't do that.
Right.
When I've got the character built, then I'll forgive you of your sin, you know?
Right. He said seven times 70 every time they come.
Exactly, exactly. So freely you've received, freely give, right?
Right.
So, you know, he freely gives to us, and so we freely give to others.
Mm.
And
that's beautiful.
So, you know, I look at the gospel, I look at what Jesus paid for, and I say, all right, there's no such thing as not yet anymore. Because the Bible does say now is the day of salvation. This is a right here, right now moment. And biblically speaking, every single person who Jesus ministered to was healed that day, and almost every single one was like immediately.
Right.
The only two exceptions I can think of offhand, you've got the man who Jesus put mud in his eyes and sent him to the pool of Siloam to wash it out. You could argue that he was healed instantly, but had to wash mud out of his eyes.
Right, that's true.
So that's possible.
A little muddy right now, my version.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He might have sent him there just because that was the cleanest water for his eyes, or it was the nearest pool. I don't know.
Right,
but and then the 10 lepers where he sent them, and as they went, they were healed.
Right.
But we don't know at what stage of as they went. Was it, you know, 3 feet away? Was it a mile away?
Right.
We do know one came back and thanked him. But everything, all the rest of it, you see these people getting healed left and right. Everyone who touches them is healed. So for me, that's my target.
You talk about exchanging the word. I think about when Jesus looked at the man who wanted healing. He says, you know, I forgive you or something like that. Right? And they're going like, how could he forgive sins? Besides, he wanted to be healed.
And he's going to let their one in the same almost, right?
Yep, it's the paralytic lowered through the roof. And Jesus says, to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, rise up, take your mat, and walk. Which, if they weren't one in the same, if they weren't based on the same authority or the same ministry, then that would not have been a logical argument. Jesus couldn't have said that this is proof. Right. That healing is proof of my power to forgive. Right. But because they are one and the same, I'm glad you brought that up, because because they are one and the same, that does unite them together right there in Jesus' own words.
And he
words.
Got up and he walked.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Exactly it. Number five here, Jesus didn't say, looks like you just don't have enough faith, bummer. And we talked a lot about this in the last episode, so you know, folks can look that up, I'm sure, if they want to hear it all. But when we, this is something I didn't talk about, is that when we read that Jesus often said, your faith has healed you, it's easy to jump to the conclusion that he's talking about that person's faith in God. Mm-hmm. But if it was their perfect faith in God, they wouldn't have had to come to Jesus.
True.
It was actually their trust in him as a healing minister to bring what God had to offer. You know, these people didn't believe Jesus was God at this stage.
Right.
They weren't even sure he was the Messiah. They were calling him teacher and prophet.
He was going. Man was going to bring healing, folks.
Exactly.
And the religious folks was against him, so that really, totally, yeah.
Yep. So the faith was, this guy, this teacher, has what it takes for me to be healed. And when they came up to him and approached him and touched his garment, or, you know, cried out to him, and he healed them and said, your faith has healed you. He's actually talking more about the fact that they trusted him as a minister.
As he was trusting the Father.
So, you know, if it was about their perfect faith in God, they would have already been healed without coming to Jesus.
Right.
Instead, they had faith that God would use Jesus to heal them. Remember, most people didn't realize Jesus was God when he walked among us. Whenever Jesus praised someone for their faith, it was actually their faith in him consistently ministering healing on behalf of the Father. So I don't think a single sick Christian who doesn't have faith, I don't know of a single sick Christian who doesn't believe that if they physically touched Jesus, they'd be healed.
Right.
I think that's a safe statement.
Yes.
So the problem is that we don't have the faith in each other as the body of Christ.
Right.
I don't look at you and believe that if I touch the hem of your suit coat, that I'll be healed. Because I don't believe you're actually the body of Jesus. So if we will, in fact, Paul says that there were those who are sick and diseased among you because they failed to discern the Lord's body. Does that have to do with that? I don't know, but it's something worth thinking about.
Well, we are the body of Christ.
So bingo.
Everybody
bingo.
That touched his body was,
That's it. Mm. So I challenge people, like start to trust the body of Christ. Start to trust your brothers and sisters. Go to them for ministry, expecting that you're going to touch Jesus when they lay hands on you.
Right.
And then you're going to start to see healing. It's not about perfect faith in Jesus. Just trust your brothers and sisters. It's that simple.
Right.
And that's a lot easier to do because they're right in front of us.
Right. I do see a lot more miracles when people, before they know a lot. And once they start knowing a lot, it's like, what happened? They started trusting in their knowledge instead of.
Wow. Yeah, when I'm in Africa and I'm preaching to, you know, 300 Kenyan school kids that just got saved, my teaching on healing is Jesus wants to heal. All you got to do is lay hands on the problem, tell them to be healed in Jesus' name, and have them test it out. There's my teaching on healing. When I get here in the States, I got to do this, 10 things Jesus didn't say.
Right.
We got to unlearn all this stuff
and
help people rethink it all. So yeah, it's just... we've picked up all this stuff because it makes us more comfortable in our lack of results.
Right.
When Jesus never made his disciples comfortable in their lack of results. In fact, he made them very uncomfortable. He rebuked them for their little faith. Mm. And I've come to say, you know, I've had pastors like get upset with me. You can't correct me for not having faith. And I'm like, listen, with as often as Jesus rebuked his disciples for not having faith, if I'm never getting rebuked for not having faith, am I following the same Jesus?
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful.
It doesn't mean I'm not saved, because you can have faith for one thing and not for another. I can trust my wife that what she says is true, but if she says, jump off the roof, I'll catch you, I don't believe her. You know? Like, that doesn't mean we're not married. It doesn't mean I don't trust my wife. Right. I just know her limitations. But God has no limitations.
You know, we got to go to break here, but I know that one thing is understanding, the more we understand how much he loves us and he's our Father, and he corrects us, it's not some pain. It's like, I'm trying to steer you in a direction so the fullness of what I've done in my son can be in your life. It's not a
We got to be correctable and teachable.
Yes.
To be true in truth theology, wouldn't you think? Yeah, and that's what we're going to go to break. We're going to come back, but just knowing God as Father, that sometimes our messed up viewpoint of what discipline is. I mean, we call our prison systems prisons now instead of corrections facilities. We're thinking you can punish something away, but the reality is that God designed us to be corrected, but we're reachable if we're teachable. And I just love the way that we're being taught right now. 10 things Jesus didn't say about healing. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We have a great way for your VFN radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic. You know, John, I mean, you think about it. You know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you. You know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, some place that is a place that you can abide, you know, just, I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease all the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods, but go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you. A video and some information to be able to help you could start right away in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15, it happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking with Art Thomas. We're going to go right here. We've got six of them. We want to stay on time here. I want to get all these in, man. Talk to us, Art. Ten things Jesus didn't say, but six left.
We're on number six. I thought that's what you were asking.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
we're on number six. We're doing good.
Good.
So number six thing Jesus never said, too bad your friends and family don't have more faith.
Oh, wow.
Now this one I want to camp out on for a second, because I feel like there's people watching right now. You're home watching this because you've got a sick family member right there with you. Mm-hmm. And it's a struggle. You've been wanting them to be healed and it hasn't happened yet. And you're wondering if you're doing something wrong, especially after everything I'm talking about with having faith and all that. You can easily start to feel weighed down from that. But that's not what Jesus wants, not at all. So especially in cases of terminal illness and extreme suffering, it's terribly difficult for us to watch those we love suffer.
Yeah.
And if they died of the disease, it's easy to wonder such things as, what if I had more faith for him or her to be healed? The fact is, God understands the emotional weight carried by the family and doesn't fault us for struggling to detach from the hopelessness and speak with authority into the situation. When the epileptic boy, again, I've mentioned this before, but the epileptic boy, he's not healed when the disciples tried to minister, and Jesus never faulted the boy's dad. Right. The boy's dad is struggling. Right. He's wrestling. This demon's tried to kill my son. I don't even know what to do. I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. He's trying to figure it all out for himself. Jesus doesn't put any responsibility on the dad.
Right.
He says, bring the boy to me. Yeah. And then he does it. He brings success there. So, you know, don't let yourself be weighed down on that. It's not on you. It's on the body of Christ. So I'm not going to tell you that family members can't minister healing to their loved ones, because they can.
Right.
My wife and I often do for each other. My kids have done it for my wife. We've done it for our kids. And it works. But there are still things that we're looking for healing on that haven't happened.
Right. Right.
And we're wrestling through it, trying to see results on it. And loved ones and things like that, that, you know, people in our own family that we still haven't seen healed yet. Mm-hmm. And here I'm supposed to be the healing minister, you know?
Right.
I can't let that burden me, because the Bible says, cast your burdens on Jesus. He cares for you. If I'm carrying the burden and the emotional weight of it, that's actually disobedience to the word of God. Right. I can actually offer that up to Jesus and say, here, you carry this. You bore it at the cross. I'm not going to let myself be weighed down by it, and I'm going to move forward in joy.
Isn't it sort of like not preaching salvation because somebody in your family chose not to be saved?
Exactly.
It's like,
and that's kind of the other part, is like, it's difficult to believe this way.
Right.
But, you know, if I were to tell you that my grandmother died in her sin and never received Jesus, and I ask you, where is she now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll probably be tactful in the way you deliver the answer.
Right.
But if you're going to stay sound to Scripture, you got to tell me she's not in heaven.
Right.
You know, we've got to address that. So you tactfully bring it around to the truth, even though the truth is painful,
mm-hmm.
not so that I'll go through the rest of my life regretting and, you know, wishing that I had been more effective in presenting the gospel to my grandma, but so that I will look at the next situation as that much more important, be motivated by what we missed in the past, and press on for future victory. So
it makes me think about too, where Jesus, he just, did we care about somebody? You know, when he brings the sheep and the goat, separates us like that.
It.
It's like, did you even have a compassion for someone when I was sick and I was in prison or whatever?
Yeah, and that's the other part, is he didn't say, I was sick and you healed me. He said, I was sick and you cared for me.
Yes.
Which is liberating, especially for parents. Like, when you stand before the Lord's not going to judge you for whether or not you healed the sick.
Right.
You're going to have to answer for whether or not you cared for the sick. And chances are, that's what you've been doing for however many years, and you've been faithfully succeeding at what the final judgment is partially based on. He is going to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thanks for taking care of me in my sickness.
Yes.
So
yes,
so if the if the healing hasn't come yet,
right.
I know you want them healed because, you know, we don't want them to suffer, mm-hmm. but you also don't have to feel like you're doing something wrong. So if you prayed for a close family member who died of their condition, or if you're still doing it and they're not whole, I want to release you right now from any guilt that you may feel or shame attached to that. The Lord doesn't hold it against you. You are forgiven in Jesus' name. You can walk free from that right now.
Amen.
All right, number 7, Jesus didn't say, my father gave you this disease so that I could look more glorious. You need to thank him for making me look so good. And people treat disease this way. They're like, you know, I just thank, I encountered a woman at the mall 2 days ago
mm-hmm.
where I approached her because she had a cane. She tells me she's got MS. And I'm trying to minister healing to her, and she just keeps saying, no, I've learned that I need to thank God for my MS and that, you know, this is a blessing in disguise and that God's going to use it for his glory. And I'm like, what? Like, what? How would right. Jesus have responded to this woman?
Right.
You know, like, where did we get this way of thinking? There's so much more I could say on that, but I will point this out. The only place we really gather this from is with Lazarus's illness. When Jesus finds out about it, his reply is, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's son may be glorified through it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we get the idea that a sickness is so that God's son gets glorified. The assumption then is that some sickness is given by God so that Jesus can be glorified. Yet we often miss two important details. Number one, Jesus didn't say God gave the illness. He said that it would bring glory to God and that he would himself be glorified. Mm-hmm. And number two, the way Jesus was glorified was by healing Lazarus when he raised him from the dead.
Right.
So, you know, if that sickness is for God to get glorified, by all means, yes, get healed.
Right.
That's the same thing that happened with the man born blind. The disciples asked, Lord, why is this man born blind? Did he do something? Did he sin in the womb? You know, did his parents sin that he was born blind? Jesus says, neither one. This happened that I may work the works of him who sent me. You know, I got to keep on doing that. So he steps out and he ministers healing and the man is healed. God gets glory out of it because the guy was healed. So I don't
that's very good. So sickness is not the glory part.
Exactly.
The healing is the glory part.
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and that more abundantly. Jesus was real clear about who does what. Number eight, Jesus didn't say, remember that my kingdom is now but not yet, so not all of you will be healed today. Now, this is one I get a lot, especially from well-learned pastors, because it's a true statement that the kingdom of God is now but not yet. Jesus came and he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is present. It is near. It is imminent. He said, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you.
Right.
So he talked about his supernatural ministry being one of the rule and authority, the dominion, the kingdom of God coming upon people and touching them. It's right here. It's right now. But there is still this future expression of the kingdom that we haven't seen yet that's going to happen one day, and it's going to be glorious. And so I have people tell me you can't expect those kind of 100% results because the kingdom, while it is now, it's also not yet, and that's the time of 100% results. To which I have to question, was Jesus operating in the not yet of the kingdom 2,000 years ago? You know, like,
right.
I'm pretty sure that was the then of the kingdom, let alone the now of the kingdom. Like,
yes.
we're beyond that.
Yes.
And he was healing 100%. Not only did Jesus do it, but in Acts chapter 5, verse 16, the church itself did it. They were all meeting together in Solomon's colonnade. The people brought all the sick and demon-possessed, and every single one of them was healed. Jesus is gone at that point.
Wow.
So this is for everybody to walk in.
And we don't even need healing in the not yet. Because
exactly.
We're actually healed once when the yet is the
exactly.
Whatever, however how you say that. When we're in the yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You've got a risen, glorified body at that point. You know,
healing's
like you
for
don't
now.
Need to get healed anymore.
Healing's
That's
for
right.
now for everyone. Oh, my
the
goodness.
The important thing to realize is that Jesus healed people according to the now of the kingdom, not according to the not yet of the kingdom.
Yes.
When people say that the kingdom is now but not yet, they're right. But when they use it as an excuse for why some people aren't healed, they ignore that Jesus was healing 100% 2,000 years ago. Physical healing is a part of the now kingdom, and it should be seen as such.
Wow, powerful.
We got two left here, so I think we're doing good on time.
Yes, we're doing really good.
All right, number nine, we need to figure out, this is number nine thing Jesus never said about healing. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out the spiritual roots of this sickness, or this just isn't going to work.
I think it traces back to three generations and a...
yeah, exactly.
You had a dog catcher in your family?
yep. Now, this is a tricky one, because in practice, we see it happen. For me personally, there was a woman in my church. This was before I was operating in healing ministry at all. There was a woman in my church who was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And we prayed every single week for this woman to be healed. And it's now like the week before her surgery and she's still not healed yet. And we're all wondering, why isn't it working? Now, I wish I knew then what I knew now. But in that time, I'm praying, God, would you give me something? And I had this picture pop into my mind, call it a vision if you want, of like the silhouette cutout of a cartoon body shape. And right where the ovaries would be was this fibrous mass with these like tentacles sticking out. Mm-hmm. And the picture zoomed in, and written across it was the word bitterness. So I tell my friend, this is what I saw. And as I'm saying it, new information comes into my mind. I call that a word of knowledge. That's a term the Bible uses, right? I suddenly know something I couldn't know, and I say, I feel specifically like it's bitterness toward a prominent woman in your life, like your mom or your sister. Does that mean anything to you? She goes, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I ate some bad pizza, no big deal, right? But she called me later that night. This was a Sunday. Her surgery was on, I think, Thursday, and she had a test on Tuesday. So Sunday night she calls me. She goes, Art, I prayed about what you said and I realized the Lord showed me I have bitterness against my mom and my sister. I forgave them and I physically feel better. Like, we'll see on Tuesday with the final test before the surgery. So She goes in for the test for that on Tuesday for the surgery, and there is absolutely no cancer whatsoever.
Wow.
Now, the problem is what we often do with that kind of a testimony is we say, oh, some sickness has a spiritual root. We got to find it out.
Right.
We got to figure out what it is. And now what we're doing is we're convincing this person that they've got sin, that that's why they're still sick, when really it's I don't have enough faith.
Right.
And now it's on them and not on me, and I'm not taking responsibility anymore.
Wow.
So Jesus never once said to someone, we got to do this. Actually, what I've learned in processing through that, to see healing happen, it's because someone had faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we arrive at faith through various means. In this particular case, the thing that it took to get us to the point of faith and trusting was a revelation of something in the past. But we could have had faith without that revelation.
Right.
Because James says, after the elders minister to the person in the name of the Lord, it says the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he's sinned, he will be forgiven.
Mm.
So that means that if you minister healing, if that sickness was based on sin, the sin is forgiven as a byproduct of the healing. I like to say it's because the blood of Jesus is messy. You get a little on you for one thing, it gets on you for everything else.
The goodness of God.
Yeah. Wow. So you don't have to figure out what that sin is.
Mm-hmm.
He will wash you and cleanse you and purify you just as you get healed. So I, you know, every time I minister healing on the streets, I just say, hey, that's proof that God loves you and forgives you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his blood paid for your healing and for your forgiveness.
Yes.
You know, you've got a gospel presentation right there.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, I say this stuff is so simple. You know, you don't have to figure that stuff out. If God reveals it to you, awesome, run with it, use it to your advantage. You know, minister to the person with it. But don't say that they're not healed because they haven't dealt with something.
Wow.
They're not healed because I, as a minister, didn't have the faith.
Wow. We're going to go to break. It's so powerful, you know, so powerful. And it's interesting, too, that maybe you can talk a little bit more how it was her motherhood was it was actually connected. Those two things
Bingo.
Were connected right there.
Her
but more we get back.
Being attacked.
We're going to come right back from the break. But make sure we're going to be showing you how to get a hold of this devotion and this movie. I'm telling you. It's time for you to be activated. We're talking about what's happening, the signs of the times. The biggest sign we need right now is the body of Christ being what God's called us to be. More we'll get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I had cancer. And it was a glioblastoma multiforme tumor, which is stage 4 cancer.
I got the flu really bad, and I went to the hospital, and I was in kidney failure. Turns out I had a degenerative kidney disease.
I broke my pinky toe.
More so in my right ear, but my left ear not as much.
I sprained my MCL.
I hurt myself real bad.
And how did I get a new ear?
But take heart, for I have overcome the world.
We just started praying, and just started disappearing.
And I went in for the ultrasound, and my kidneys had actually regrown the membrane within that 6 months, and the doctor came in and said, you're completely healed.
And the next day I got prayed for, and my pinky toe totally got healed.
Wow, that's good. That's what you know.
Everywhere Jesus went, he preached, he taught, and he healed. He did not ignore the sick. It was a mission of his to see the sick healed.
You got to realize that it's based on Christ, and it's based on our obedience to what he says to do.
He never intended for his creation to walk in sickness and disease and weakness, and he wants to bring about restoration.
Speaking about Jesus, but without showing the power of Jesus, you are meaning nothing to people.
The price was paid in full. That's where the price is paid for. Our job is to work out how we get the realities of heaven to earth.
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean, no, only a couple. He said all. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be just like our daddy, to go lay hands on the sick and see them recover.
Healing ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit and saving me for eternity?
We know who God is. We know what Jesus can do. We just don't know what we can do. And it says we can do all things.
Welcome back. We're talking with Art Thomas. You've got to be activated. You've got to get this manual. Go to VFNTV.com. We've got the details for you. 40 days paid in full, healing ministry activation. Listen, he expects us to do what he told us to do. I mean, there's an expectancy he has of us, and the world is waiting for the kingdom of God to be demonstrated. So make sure you get this. Get the movie. It is a blessing. Paid in full. You can find out more at VFNTV.com. Art. My goodness, man, this is so informative and so, exciting. And I just feel like impartation's happening. I know it's happening with me. You know, the bread that God gave you, you know, I ate that bread and it just encouraged me. And then ministers we have, you know, I'm giving the bread to them and they're giving the bread and it's just like, you know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
It's
awesome.
Exciting, man. So talk to us. I guess we have the 10th thing about, Jesus didn't say 10 things that he didn't say in the Bible about healing.
That's it. And before I do the 10th one, I'm going to minister again at the end, but I feel specifically right now, the Lord's healing feet, and I'm specifically hearing the word neuropathy, but whether you got that wrong with your feet or anything else, I want you to stand up and walk around and test it out, see what happened, and then like email somebody, let us know. Right. I want to hear about that.
Yes.
All right, number 10, 10th thing Jesus never said about healing. He never said, unfortunately, this sickness is a punishment for your sin, and you have to reap what you've sown. And this is, you know, especially important when we're talking about things that are directly related to our sin. You know, maybe you've been a drunkard all your life, and now you got liver disease, or maybe you got an STD or something. You know, from poor choices earlier in life,
or too much bacon. Too much bacon.
Yeah, too much bacon will do it too. Right. That's not a sin.
Thank the Lord.
That's right. Praise God for the new covenant. We can eat pigs.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a look at Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. I'm going to share from the Amplified Bible.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with the Amplified, it's got some extra words. It's a paraphrase. And so in parentheses and in brackets, they add some of some other possible meanings of the original Greek and Hebrew, in this case Hebrew, so that you can get a fuller meaning of the text, a fuller idea of what it's talking about. Okay. So Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5 in the Amplified starts out saying this: surely he has borne our griefs, and in parentheses there after griefs, it says sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. So he has borne our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. So, you know, even if your pain is punishment from the Lord, he wants you to be healed.
Right.
You know, Saul on the road to Damascus is the only case we can find of Jesus making someone sick. He strikes him blind. Now, Saul was on his way to go murder some Christians, so unless you're on your way to murder Christians, chances are it's not God doing it to you.
And he was forgiven, and he was saved, and he
eventually
healed.
That's exactly it. because only 3 days pass before God speaks to an ordinary Christian, just a disciple named Ananias, and says, hey, go to this place, find this guy. And Ananias goes and ministers healing. So even in the one and only case we can find of Jesus making someone sick, the prescription was, as soon as a Christian could get to them and minister to them in Jesus' name, healing came. So anytime a person's standing in front of me, I never question, did God cause this sickness or anything like that? No, like biblically, mm-hmm. my job is always heal. Always.
We underestimate the love and the kindness and the compassion of God.
Yeah.
We can never overestimate that.
Yeah.
Because he's so loving. It's God's kindness that leads us to a place of repentance, you know?
That's it. Wow. Yeah, he'll shut you down if you're on the way to murder some of his kids, but you know,
it's always
most
the
aren't there.
It's the persecutors, isn't it? It's ones that are persecuting the body. He's protecting the body from the, and even heals those guys.
Sure, exactly.
Wow.
So the only person in the New Testament we can clearly say Jesus did that was Saul. And of course, 3 days later he's healed. And Saul was an enemy of the gospel, murdering Christians. So right. and also there was Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, did this to this guy named Elymas, who was, you know, Paul gets up and preaches the gospel, Elymas gets up and preaches the opposite, and Paul says, you're an enemy of the gospel, you're going to be blind, and then he says, for a time. Yeah. So even that wasn't permanent, it
God
was just
so
to shut down
good.
An enemy of the gospel.
God is so good.
Yep.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, we got just a couple of minutes left here,
okay.
and I want you to be able to pray for our audience, but I want to say this.
Yep.
I love that I can see your heart wanting people to know Christ and that evangelistic, all of us are called to tell people about the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And this is a sign of our King, but to enter in. And I see that where you just that cry, you know, we're talking about healing, we're talking about deliverance, but it's the deliverer, it's the healer that we're telling you about. And this is the opportunity where a person's heart is open now, and we need to don't just walk away. We said, this is Jesus. This is how much
he
loves us. I mean, talk to us about evangelism. This is a power evangelism or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the way this verse ends actually sums it up. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. There is no wounding you need to endure for your transgressions. Jesus took it. Mm. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. So any bruising you deserve for your guilt and iniquities, he took. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. So if you think you need to be physically chastised for the sake of your peace and well-being, to build character, to make you a better person, to, you know,
right.
I have good news for you. Jesus took that at the cross as well.
Wow.
And the last thing he says is, by the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. So the beauty of the cross is that this divine exchange occurred. We sowed sin and he reaped death. He sowed perfection and innocence, and we reap eternal life. We sowed evil, and he reaped evil. He sowed love, mercy, and grace, and we reap sonship. We murdered the Son of God, and he received torture. He poured out his perfect, innocent blood, and we received vindication. The things we receive in Christianity are the things Jesus deserves, and the things that Jesus received at the cross are the things we deserve. The purpose of Jesus' death was to reconcile man to God. It was to restore the beauty of relationship that was lost when sin entered the world. When Adam sinned, sickness, disease, all that entered the world. But when Jesus' body was whipped, when he died on that cross, the price was paid to restore health to our bodies and wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. By his stripes we're healed. He doesn't want you just physically healed. He wants you completely whole. And that's the gospel. Jesus paid the price to reconcile you to God. God the Father is standing there with open arms saying, I forgive you. Would you come to me? And now Paul says, we, on Christ's behalf, plead with you. Be reconciled to God.
Can you pray for our audience right now? We have 1 minute left. And just reach out to them. They're probably going, I want
to
know this Jesus. I didn't realize that's who he really is.
Yeah, if you've never made that decision, or you've maybe made a decision, but you never knew Jesus was like this, right now, in Jesus' name, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I want you to speak out loud, yes, Jesus, I admit, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you are the boss of all, and you call the shots in my life. I surrender my life to you. I'm not going to live for my own sake and my own glory anymore. I'm going to live for you. And I believe that the Father raised you from the dead through his Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you, the same one who raised Jesus from the dead, to come live in me and raise me to life from the death of sin. Make me a new creation. Make me someone completely different who's never existed before. My old life is dead. My new life is here. I receive you in Jesus' name. And now, right now, for anyone who needs physical healing, I command your body be whole right now in Jesus' name. Now test that out. Try to do something you couldn't do. Eyes open, deaf ears open, whatever it is, be healed in Jesus' name.
Awesome. We want to hear about your testimonies. Don't forget, you can go to meetmyfather.org and find out how we met the Lord and share your testimony as well. Oh, well. We're so glad. Don't forget to get the book. Just continue to pray for Art and Art Thomas Ministries, and hopefully we'll have them in the Gulf Coast region soon. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.